The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The history of this particular feast of Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary is one that is quite relevant to our own times. This is the anniversary of the great victory of united Christian forces over a fleet of the Ottoman Empire, which at that time was at the height of its power, at Lepanto, the Eastern Mediterranean, in 1571. The Battle of Lepanto was the D-Day of its time. This was a point at which Europe, Western Europe in particular, was very fragmented by war and religious struggles. The Byzantine Empire had fallen about 150 or so years before. The Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, was at the height of its power and was expanding and was looking to expand very much into Western Europe. And of course, the goal was that Europe should become Islamic, that the Christian faith should not have the place that it had had up until that time. And as a result of this victory, which was regarded because of some of its circumstances as having had a miraculous origin, Christianity in Western Europe was basically saved, and a tremendous suffering was avoided as a result of a potential Ottoman invasion. Now, in the time leading up to this victory, people in Western Europe were praying, and one of the main prayers was the Rosary. And because of the fact that the Rosary had played such an important part in this tremendous event of deliverance of Christendom from the Ottomans, this particular feast was declared by Pope Pius V to be a day of celebration. So it continues to be today. Now, this feast, I think, is very relevant to our time, quite obviously, because we too live in a time of conflict. Indeed, we live in a time of conflict in which the Islamic world and the Western world once again find themselves in a certain level of conflict and hostility. But we see this conflict in all areas of our life. We see it within our nation. You know, we only have to look at the divisions that are reflected in the nasty political campaigns that go on, in the news reports that we see about people who, because they disagree with one another, start calling each other names and start sort of excommunicating each other from the from even being fellow countrymen. We see this, of course, in many other ways, and within our church we often see this, and we know this particular parish has experienced a great deal of conflict and division, and it's so important for us to recognize that the Lord works in all of this. Just as he was working in the terrible events of the 16th century, just as he worked through his own suffering and death, so it is that the Lord works through the suffering and the conflicts that we experience in the course of our lives, at all levels of our lives, from the most intimate and individual to those at the international level. I think that that circumstance is something that we remembered in a special way last weekend when we read from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, who was living at a time of terrible discord and ruin in his own kingdom of Judah. And you might remember that the reading was that Habakkuk, as it were, was on the wall of Jerusalem, kind of looking out for some sign that the Lord was working in all of this. He says, "How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you violence, but you do not intervene." And then the Lord answers him and tells him that he should keep the vision always before him. He's writing it down in big letters so that one could even see it on the run, because that vision is going to press on to fulfillment. And even though it might seem to delay, we must continue to wait for it. And I think that passage, as we relate it to our celebration today and its origin in a time of terrible warfare, is one that is very relevant to us, because we too must always keep that vision before us of the kingdom of God, of our place in it, of the fact that we have been united to Jesus in his great work of resurrection and redemption, and that ultimately whatever difficulties we might run into, that we must always be ready to put that vision before our eyes, as it were, and allow the Lord to guide us towards it, towards its fulfillment, even in the midst of great difficulty. A person who was able to keep that great vision before her at all times, of course, was Mary. It's very noteworthy that today, on this Feast of the Holy Rosary, we read the account of the Annunciation from the Gospel of St. Luke, which is the first time that Mary appears in Scripture. And then we read the story of the descent of the Holy Spirit on Mary and the apostles at Pentecost, which is the last time she appears in Scripture. And between those two events, and indeed from her birth and her conception until her death and now in her eternal life in heaven, Mary was somebody who experienced conflict and tragedy and risk and loss, and yet, no matter what she faced, was able to keep that vision before her. She was a person of such great faith, of such great goodness, of such great generosity, that despite the terrible things that she experienced in union with her son, that she was able to continue to be a witness to that vision and to be one of those who has now passed that vision on to us and indeed continues to protect us in heaven as the first of all disciples. Mary was able to do this because she opened herself to the Lord. She prayed. We read her most famous prayer, the Magnificat, is our responsorial psalm for today. But the rosary, this rosary that is celebrated in a special way today, is a symbol of the centrality of prayer in our Christian lives. That it is through prayer that we open ourselves to that vision. It is through prayer that we allow the Lord to intervene in our lives more and more readily, so that despite the tragedies that we might participate in or that might surround us, the setbacks, the sorrows we might experience, that we always can be sure that the Spirit is working in us and that we are allowing that Spirit to work in us as greatly as possible. So today, as we remember Mary, that woman of vision who continues to lead and protect us today, as we remember the centrality of prayer in our lives, as we remember the terrible tragedies of human history in which we continue to live, let us ask that the Lord will help us in the midst of all of the turmoil that we experience in our world to turn to the Lord, to open ourselves to the Lord through prayer, whether it be the rosary or other forms of prayer, so that we, like Mary, may faithfully keep that vision of the Lord before us, that we, like Mary, might come to share with him the ultimate fulfillment of that vision in eternal life.